Is Jesus Christ eternal God? Why would a book claiming to be scripture want to be associated with having a familiar spirit? How reliable is the Bible? Why was the word white changed to pure in referencing the righteous Lamanites? We will answer these questions and more in this lesson. Hi, Max here. Welcome to the Come Follow Me podcast. This review covers the lesson plan for 2 Nephi chapters 26 through 30. Make sure to subscribe to be notified of our upcoming videos. For the sake of time, I will not cite all the parallel phrases and words from the Old and New Testaments that are in the Book of Mormon text. For a complete transcript of this lesson, please click on the link in the description below. Having explained the basic message of Isaiah to his people in 2 Nephi chapter 25, Nephi now continues prophesying about the ministry of the Savior to the people in the Western Hemisphere, after he has been crucified by the Jews. 2 Nephi 26:1.
And after Christ shall have risen from the dead, he shall show himself unto you, my children and my beloved brethren, and the words which he shall speak unto you shall be the law which ye shall do.
Jesus is coming to America. The words, quote, risen from the dead, is in Matthew 28:7. 2 Nephi 26:2.
For behold, I say unto you, that I have beheld that many generations shall pass away, and there shall be great wars and contentions among my people.
Nephi saw in a vision those conflicts that are recorded in Alma and Helaman. 2 Nephi 26:3. Nephi forecast that, quote, there shall be signs, same in Luke 21:25, that will be given to the Nephites of the Messiah's birth, see Helaman 14:3-6, and his death and resurrection. See Helaman 14:20 through 28. And
great and terrible shall that day be unto the wicked, for they shall perish.
2 Nephi 26:4. Nephi describes the catastrophic destruction that will happen to the wicked at the coming of Christ to the Nephites. This verse is similar to Malachi 4:1. I need to point out that Malachi's words are borrowed and quoted many years before they were even written by Malachi. And no early prophets in the Bible are credited with these words from Malachi 4:1. Just another anachronistic example. 2 Nephi 26:5.
The depths of the earth shall swallow them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and mountains shall cover them, and whirlwinds shall carry them away, and buildings shall fall upon them and crush them to pieces and grind them to powder.
Yikes! The words, quote, grind them to powder, is also in Matthew 21:44. The phrase is, quote, shall swallow them up, is in Psalms 21:9, and, quote, shall carry them away, is in Isaiah 41:16. 2 Nephi 26:6, they will be burned. See 3 Nephi 9:9.
For the fire of the anger of the Lord shall be kindled against them, and they shall be as stubble.
The phrase is, quote, thunderings and lightnings, is in Revelation 8:5, and, quote, the anger of the Lord is in Jeremiah 23:20, and, quote, and kindle against them is in Numbers 12:9, and, quote, consume them, saith the Lord, is in Jeremiah 8:13. 2 Nephi 26:7. This vision terrified Nephi, and he anguished over the loss of his people. But he says to God, quote, thy ways are just, end quote. Next, Nephi speaks of the righteous people who will not be destroyed at his second coming. 2 Nephi 26:8. Those who listen to the prophets look forward to Christ's coming and endure persecution.
They are they which shall not perish.
2 Nephi 26:9. Nephi goes on prophesying,
but the Son of Righteousness shall appear unto them, and he shall heal them, and they shall have peace with him until three generations shall have passed away, and many of the fourth generation shall have passed away in righteousness.
There will be 200 years of peace among the Nephites after the Savior's visit to them. See 4 Nephi 1, 1-22. 2 Nephi 26:10. Nephi describes after that, his people will become ripe for destruction again, and everything goes to hell in a handbasket. The phrase, quote, darkness rather than light, is in John 3:19. 2 Nephi 26:11.
For the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. And when the Spirit ceaseth to strive with man, then cometh speedy destruction, and this grieveth my soul.
The phrase, quote, "Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man," is similar to Genesis 6:3. Taken from 2 Nephi 12-13, Moroni wrote on the title page the major reason or purpose of the Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi 26:12.
"And as I spake concerning the convincing of the Jews that Jesus is the very Christ, it must needs be that the Gentiles be convinced also that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God."
The phrase is, quote, "is the very Christ," is also in John 7:26, and, quote, "that Jesus is the Christ," is also in John 20:31. As we pointed out in the introduction to the Book of Mormon, Part 1, regarding the title page, it says,
"And also to the convincing of the Jew and Gentile that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God."
Here in 2 Nephi 26:12, it reaffirms the teaching that Jesus Christ is the eternal God. Now Nephi speaks of the critical role of the Holy Ghost. 2 Nephi 26:13.
"And that he manifesteth himself unto all those who believe in him by the power of the Holy Ghost. Yea, unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, working mighty miracles, signs, and wonders among the children of men according to their faith."
2 Nephi 26:14.
"But behold, I prophesy unto you concerning the last days, concerning the days when the Lord God shall bring these things forth unto the children of men."
Here it is talking about the bringing forth of the Book of Mormon in the last days. 2 Nephi 26:15. The phrase,
"Camped against them round about, and shall have laid siege against them with a mount, and raised forts against them,"
is similar to Isaiah 29:3. 2 Nephi 26:16.
"For those who shall be destroyed,"
those Book of Mormon peoples,
"shall speak unto the
people in the last days,
out of the ground,
from the hill Cumorah,
and their speech shall be low, out of the dust, and their voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit. For the Lord God will give unto him power, that he may whisper concerning them, even as it were out of the ground, and their speech shall whisper out of the dust."
Nephi is evidently quoting Isaiah 29:4. Nephi is saying that this record, the Book of Mormon that has a familiar spirit, would speak with a familiar voice to those who already have the Bible. This is a creative interpretation of that verse. However, Isaiah isn't talking about a literal book, much less one that would come forth in the future. By reading the entire chapter of Isaiah 29, it is obvious that God is speaking of the spiritual blindness of the people, resulting in the destruction of Jerusalem. And being brought down to the ground, as if buried, Jerusalem would whisper. Isaiah 29, 1-4 is a pronouncement of a horrific judgment against Ariel, meaning Jerusalem, in an attempt to get the nation of Judah to repent and return to God. This judgment was fulfilled in 700 BC. Jerusalem had been humbled, such that their speech was, quote, "out of the ground," or, quote, "low out of the dust." The words, quote, "familiar spirit," is not a reference to the Book of Mormon being another witness of Jesus Christ. There are at least 15 Old Testament references to familiar spirits, and all of them deal with witchcraft or necromancy. For these references, click on the script link in the description below. Therefore, when the Book of Mormon claims to have a familiar spirit, it is inadvertently claiming a relationship with the demonic. Familiar spirits are clearly rooted in occultism, and that's why God condemns everything related to familiar spirits. See Deuteronomy 18, 9-12. If the Book of Mormon is supposed to be the Word of God, why would God associate it with demonic forces? See Episode 20, Prediction of the Book of Mormon, Part 1. Links are in the description below. Then, speaking of the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi 26:17.
"For thus saith the Lord God, they shall write the things which shall be done among them, and they shall be written and sealed up in a book. And those who have dwindled in unbelief shall not have them, for they seek to destroy the things of God."
This verse is almost identical to Isaiah 29:4. 2 Nephi 26:18 is similar to Isaiah 29:5. 2 Nephi 26:20, the phrase, quote, "and grind upon the face of the poor," is similar to Isaiah 3:15. Nephi talks about the building up of many churches over time that causes envyings and strife towards each other. 2 Nephi 26:22.
And there are also secret combinations, even as in times of old, according to the combinations of the devil, for he is the founder of all these things, yea, the founder of murder, and works of darkness. Yea, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord, until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever.
The words, quote, "he bindeth them," is in Job 36:13. Nephi is warning about Satan's methods for bringing people into bondage. 2 Nephi 26:23.
For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness.
2 Nephi 26:24.
He doeth not anything, save it be for the benefit of the world. For he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. Wherefore, he commandeth none that they shall not partake of his salvation.
The words, quote, "may draw all men unto him," is similar to John 12:32. Now, speaking of God, Nephi teaches us that salvation is free to everyone. 2 Nephi 26:27.
Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But he hath given it free for all men, and he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men to repentance.
Sounds like he is talking about being saved by grace alone. Next, Nephi defines priestcraft, which will be talked about throughout the Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi 26:29.
He commandeth that there shall be no priestcrafts. For behold, priestcrafts are that men preach and set themselves up for a light unto the world, that they may get gain and praise of the world, but they seek not the welfare of Zion.
The phrase, quote, "a light unto the world," is in John 12:46. 2 Nephi 26:32, the phrase, quote, "should not take the name of the Lord God in vain," is similar to Exodus 20, verse 7. 2 Nephi 26:33, the phrase, quote, "bond and free, male and female," is similar to Galatians 3:28. Okay, now Nephi is returning to the writings of Isaiah. 2 Nephi 27 is compared to Isaiah 29. Isaiah begins by prophesying about the wickedness of the world in the last days. 2 Nephi 27:1. All nations,
even upon all the lands of the earth, behold, they will be drunken with iniquity and all manner of abominations.
Nephi says that once the gospel is restored in the last day, none will be able to stop its progress. Then he begins a detailed prophecy about the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi 27:6.
And it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall bring forth unto you the words of a book, and they shall be the words of them which have slumbered.
Meaning people who will be deceased. 2 Nephi 27:7.
And behold, the book shall be sealed, and in the book shall be a revelation from God from the beginning of the world to the ending thereof.
This is talking about the sealed portion of the plates. 2 Nephi 27:8.
Wherefore, because of the things which are sealed up, the things which are sealed shall not be delivered in the day of the wickedness and abominations of the people. Wherefore the book shall be kept from them.
Meaning the sealed portion of the gold plates won't be translated by Joseph Smith while wickedness and abomination exist. So it will probably not be until the millennium before we get the rest of the Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi 27:9.
But the book,
the gold plates,
shall be delivered unto a man,
Joseph Smith,
and he shall deliver,
or translate,
the words of the book, which are the words of those who have slumbered in the dust,
the Book of Mormon prophets,
and he shall deliver these words unto another.
This refers to when Martin Harris gave a copy of the characters taken from the plates to Professor Charles Anthon. See Joseph Smith History 1:63-65. 2 Nephi 27:10.
But the words which are sealed he shall not deliver, neither shall he deliver the book. For the book shall be sealed by the power of God, and the revelation which was sealed shall be kept in the book until the own due time of the Lord, that they may come forth. For behold, they reveal all things from the foundation of the world unto the end thereof.
That is a hint to what is in the sealed portion. See Ether 4:4-7. The words, quote, "which was sealed," is also in Jeremiah 32:11, and, quote, from the foundation of the world, is in Matthew 13:35. Now, Nephi tells about the three witnesses of the Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi 27:12.
Wherefore, at that day, when the book shall be delivered
by the angel Moroni
unto the man of whom I have spoken,
Joseph Smith,
the book shall be hid from the eyes of the world, that the eyes of none shall behold it,
the gold plates,
save it be that three witnesses shall behold it by the power of God, besides him,
Joseph Smith,
to whom the book shall be delivered. And they shall testify to the truth of the book and the things therein.
If you read Doctrine and Covenants 17:3-6, the Lord gave instructions through Joseph Smith to Martin Harris, Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, as to what they should say in their testimony. 2 Nephi 27:13.
And there is none other which shall view it,
the gold plates,
save it be a few,
the three and the eyewitnesses,
according to the will of God, to bear testimony of his word unto the children of men. For the Lord God hath said that the words of the faithful,
the Book of Mormon prophets,
should speak as if it were from the dead.
The phrase, quote, according to the will of God, is also in 1 Peter 4:19. 2 Nephi 27:14.
Wherefore, the Lord God will proceed to bring forth the words of the book, and in the mouth of as many witnesses,
LDS missionaries and members,
as seemeth him good will he establish his word. And woe be unto him that rejecteth the word of God.
Sounds like trouble for those who don't believe in it. The phrase, quote, establish his words, is also in 1 Samuel 1:23. 2 Nephi 27:15.
But behold, it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall say unto him,
Joseph Smith,
to whom he shall deliver the book, take these words which are not sealed, and deliver them to another,
Martin Harris,
that he may show them unto the learned,
Professor Charles Anthon and Dr. Mitchell. See Joseph Smith History 1:64-65.
Saying, read this, I pray thee. And the learned
Charles Anthon
shall say, bring hither the book, and I will read them.
Here Isaiah gives details as to the motives of Mitchell and Anthon. 2 Nephi 27:16.
And now, because of the glory of the world, and to get gain will they say this, and not for the glory of God.
2 Nephi 27:17.
And the man
Martin Harris
shall say, I cannot bring the book, for it is sealed.
2 Nephi 27:18. Speaking of Charles Anthon,
then shall the learned say, I cannot read it.
2 Nephi 27:19.
Wherefore, it shall come to pass that the Lord God will deliver again the book and the words thereof to him,
Joseph Smith,
that is not learned. And the man that is not learned shall say, I am not learned.
2 Nephi 27:20.
Then shall the Lord God say unto him,
Joseph Smith,
the learned shall not read them,
translate them,
for they have rejected them, and I am able to do mine own work. Wherefore, thou shalt read,
translate,
the words which I shall give unto thee.
All of this is purported to be a fulfillment of a prophecy from Isaiah 29:11-12. But the fact is, these verses are taken completely out of context and meant something entirely different. In reading Isaiah 29:1-10, we see that Isaiah is referring to a vision, not a book that was treated like a sealed scroll. The vision God gave the people that day had become meaningless to the people as the words of a book that was sealed. Isaiah was referring to a condition of the people at that time, not to some future era. The Lord saying to those people in verse 13,
for as much as this people draw near unto me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men.
All of this is different from the claims that a prophecy was fulfilled by Martin Harris, Charles Anthon, and Joseph Smith. Joseph will start out translating with the help of Urim and Thummim, and then resort to the means of looking at the peepstone and hat. The Lord warned Smith not to touch the sealed portion of the plates. When Smith is finished with the translation of the gold plates, they will be given back to the Lord until it's time to translate the sealed portion. There is an account from Brigham Young in the Journal of Discourses, volume 19, page 38, of this incident. Young relates that Joseph and Oliver Cowdery took the plates back to the hill Cumorah, where the hill opened up for them, and they entered a large room filled with other plates and records. Quote, Oliver says that when Joseph and Oliver went there, the hill opened, and they walked into a cave, in which there was a large and spacious room. He says he did not think at the time whether they had the light of the sun or artificial light, but that it was just as light as day. They laid the plates on the table. It was a large table that stood in the room. Under this table, there was a pile of plates as much as 2 feet high, and there were altogether in this room more plates than probably many wagon loads. They were piled up in the corners and along the walls. The first time they went there, the sword of Laban was hung on the wall. But when they went back again, it had been taken down and laid upon the table across the gold plates. It was unsheathed, and on it was written these words, quote, "This sword will never be sheathed again until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and his Christ." End quote. I tell you this as coming not only from Oliver Cowdery, but others who were familiar with it and who understood it just as well as we understand coming to this meeting, enjoying the day, and by we separate to go away, forgetting most of what is said, but remembering some things. End quote. I can imagine this experience happening in a dream, but to actually have a large room in a cave in the hill Cumorah with all three artifacts and a table is difficult to believe. What is a supernatural experience? Or what is reality? That cave should still be there. So why hasn't there been an excavation in the hill to find it? Just asking. Besides that, how did that long sentence of words fit on the sword of Laban? Again, just asking. Remember when Joseph Smith questioned which church he should join during his first vision? Jesus supposedly quoted from Isaiah 29:13, which is here in 2 Nephi 27:25.
"For as much as this people draw near unto me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men."
The phrase, quote, "this people draw near unto me with their mouth," is similar to Matthew 15:8, 2 Nephi 27:26.
"Therefore I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, yea, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise and learned shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent shall be hid."
To the Latter-day Saint, this marvelous work and a wonder is referencing the restoration of the gospel through Joseph Smith. However, when reading in context of the entire chapter, it refers to God's work of vengeance on the ungodly, not his blessing of the righteous. It will be a wonder because the wisdom of the wise will perish. God's wonderful and marvelous works are not always positive in nature. Moses called God's pledge in Deuteronomy 28:59 wonderful and great, and those didn't turn out so well for them. No biblical experts or scholars see Isaiah's warning as a prediction of a future book. 2 Nephi 27:29.
"And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness."
Referring to spiritual darkness. Now Nephi is going to tell us how the Book of Mormon will be received by Christians everywhere. But first he reminds us how God views non-Mormon Christians. 2 Nephi 28:3.
"For it shall come to pass in that day,"
the last days,
"that the churches which are built up and not unto the Lord, when the one shall say unto the other, Behold, I am the Lord's, and the other shall say, I am the Lord's, and thus shall everyone say that hath built up churches and not unto the Lord."
2 Nephi 28:4.
"And they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another. And they shall teach with their learning and deny the Holy Ghost which giveth utterance."
2 Nephi 28:5-6. This is a time when churches will teach there is no need for more scriptures, continuing revelation, prophets and apostles, and no such things as miracles today. They all ceased with the Bible. 2 Nephi 28:7-11. "There will be those who believe in God who think that they can commit sin without God punishing them for it. These false doctrines have caused those people to become corrupt." The phrase,
"Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us,"
is similar to Luke 12:9 and Isaiah 22:13. The phrase,
"They have all gone out of the way, they have become corrupted,"
is similar to Romans 3:12. 2 Nephi 28:12.
Because of pride, and because of false teachers and false doctrine, their churches have become corrupted.
2 Nephi 28:13.
They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. And they persecute the meek and the poor in heart.
2 Nephi 28:14 15. They are full of pride, wickedness, abominations, and whoredoms. And all these people, quote, shall be thrust down to hell, as in Luke 10:15. The phrase is, quote, taught by the precepts of men, is similar to Isaiah 29:13, and, quote, pervert the right way of the Lord, is similar to Acts 13:10. 2 Nephi 28:16, the words, quote, a thing of naught, is in Jeremiah 14:14, and are fully ripe, is in Revelation 14:18. 2 Nephi 28:18.
But behold, that great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof.
This is speaking of the kingdom of the devil. The phrase, quote, and great must be the fall thereof, is similar to Matthew 7:27. 2 Nephi 28:19. The words, quote, everlasting chains, is also in Jude 1:6. 2 Nephi 28:20. He warns of the methods the devil uses to stir up people to anger against that which is good. 2 Nephi 28:21.
And others will he pacify, and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell.
The words, quote, all is well, is in 2 Kings 5:22. 2 Nephi 28:22-23. The devil will convince people that there is no hell and that he isn't the devil. And once the devil has control of these people, they will be judged by their works and sent to the lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. The Book of Mormon in several places teaches that there are only two options for man's future, heaven or hell. Those references can be found in 2 Nephi 28:22, 1 Nephi 15:35, Mosiah 16:11 and 27-31, Alma 41:4-8, and Alma 42:16. Yet the Doctrine and Covenants promises some level of heaven to practically everyone. See D&C 76:43 and 70-1120. In 2 Nephi 28:24-28, Nephi summarizes what he has just taught in the previous verses. 2 Nephi 28:24, the phrase, quote, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion, is similar to Amos 6:1. 2 Nephi 28:28, the words, quote, build his house upon a rock, end quote, and, quote, built upon a sandy foundation, is similar to Matthew 7:26. Next, Nephi says there will be many who will oppose the doctrine of continuing revelation through modern prophets. 2 Nephi 28:29.
Woe be unto him that shall say, we have received the word of God, and we need no more of the word of God, for we have enough.
The words, quote, have received the word of God, is similar to Acts 8:14. Next, Nephi talks about how continuing revelation is received both personally and corporately. 2 Nephi 28:30.
For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts, and lend an ear unto my counsel. For they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth I will give more. And from them that shall say, we have enough, from them shall be taken away even that which they have.
2 Nephi 28:31.
Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of men, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Similar to Jeremiah 17:5. Nephi now prophesies that there will be much opposition to the Book of Mormon because Satan will put into the minds of people that revelation came to an end with the Bible. 2 Nephi 29:1-2. God tells Nephi that in the last days, when he restores the gospel, including the bringing forth of the Book of Mormon, that
my word shall hiss forth unto the ends of the earth, for a standard unto my people which are of the house of Israel.
2 Nephi 29:3.
And because my word shall hiss forth, many of the Gentiles shall say, A Bible? A Bible? We have got a Bible, and there cannot be any more Bible.
The words, quote, shall hiss forth, is similar to Isaiah 7:18. The English word Bible, from the Greek term Biblia, appears several times in the Book of Mormon, even though the word had yet to be created centuries later. Even the Bible doesn't have the word Bible in it. Why does the word Bible appear in the Book of Mormon when there is no equivalent word in any language from which to translate it? This shows the Book of Mormon to be of recent origin. 2 Nephi 29:4.
For thus saith the Lord God, O fools, they shall have a Bible, and it shall proceed forth from the Jews, mine ancient covenant people. And what thank they the Jews for the Bible which they receive from them? Yea, what do the Gentiles mean? Do they remember the travails and the labors and the pains of the Jews, and their diligence unto me in bringing forth salvation unto the Gentiles?
2 Nephi 29:6.
Thou fool that shalt say, A Bible, we have got a Bible, and we need no more Bible. Have ye obtained a Bible, save it were by the Jews?
I must insert here that the Bible is fully reliable and complete. There is overwhelming evidence of biblical preservation. There are over 24,000 partial and complete New Testament manuscripts, including 5,600 original Greek manuscripts, some dated within 100 years of the original writings, and all agree with 99.5% accuracy. The Lord now reminds us that there are many more records yet to come forth. 2 Nephi 29:7.
Know ye not that there are more nations than one? Know ye not that I, the Lord your God, have created all men, and that I remember those who are upon the isles of the sea, and that I rule in the heavens above and in the earth beneath, and I bring forth my word unto the children of men, yea, even upon all the nations of the earth.
2 Nephi 29:8.
Wherefore murmur ye, because that ye shall receive more of my word? Know ye not that the testimony of two nations is a witness unto you that I am God, that I remember one nation like unto another? Wherefore I speak the same words unto one nation like unto another. And when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of the two nations shall run together also.
The words, quote, that the testimony of two, is the same in John 8:17. The Lord states that there will be no end to continuous revelation. 2 Nephi 29:9, the phrase, quote, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is similar to Hebrews 13:8. 2 Nephi 29:10.
Wherefore, because that ye have a Bible, ye need not suppose that it contains all my words. Neither need ye suppose that I have not caused more to be written.
2 Nephi 29:11.
For I command all men, both in the east and in the west, and in the north and in the south, and in the islands of the sea, that they shall write the words which I speak unto them. For out of the books which shall be written I will judge the world, every man according to their works, according to that which is written.
2 Nephi 29:12.
For behold, I shall speak unto the Jews, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto the Nephites, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto the other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto all nations of the earth, and they shall write it.
Everyone is writing scriptures, so where are they? Why don't we know about them? 2 Nephi 29:13. In the end, everyone will have the Book of Mormon, and everyone will have the Bible, and everyone will have the words of the lost tribe of Israel. And that, my friends, will be some triple combination. We continue now with Nephi's prophecy and teachings. 2 Nephi 30, verse 3.
And now, I would prophesy somewhat more concerning the Jews and the Gentiles. For after the book of which I have spoken shall come forth, and be written unto the Gentiles, and sealed up again unto the Lord, there shall be many which shall believe the words which are written, and they shall carry them forth unto the remnant of our seed.
The Book of Mormon will be taken out to the Gentiles by missionaries from the Mormon Church. Many will be converted, and they will take the Book of Mormon to the Lamanites. The words, quote, and sealed up, is also in Deuteronomy 32:34, and, quote, shall carry them forth, is also in Leviticus 14:45. 2 Nephi 30, verse 5. The phrase, quote, "the gospel of Jesus Christ," is also in Mark 1:1. To use the name Jesus Christ is anachronistic. 2 Nephi 30, verse 6.
And then shall they rejoice, for they shall know that it is a blessing unto them from the hand of God. And their scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes, and many generations shall not pass away among them, save they shall be a pure and a delightsome people.
The phrase is, quote, "the scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes," is similar to Acts 9:18, and, quote, "generations shall not pass away," is similar to Luke 21:32. This is speaking not so much of the North American Indians, who for the most part are not interested in the message of the Book of Mormon, but from a Latter-day Saint perspective, it is referring to those people who would be considered Lamanites in Mexico, Central America, and South America. Notice in 2 Nephi 30 verse 6 that the LDS Church changed the word white to pure to soften the obvious racism in this prophecy. The message is that belief in these books will whiten the skin of the Lamanites and also make the Jews a delightsome people. The whole idea of the Lamanites becoming white-skinned is firmly established in the Book of Mormon doctrine. The word white in this verse was changed to pure in the 1981 edition. It may have been changed to appear not politically correct towards the Native Americans, following the declaration regarding the blacks and the priesthood, which had taken place just 3 years earlier in 1978. 3 Nephi 30, verse 6, seems to go hand in hand with other Book of Mormon verses like 2 Nephi 12:23, 2 Nephi 5:21, Alma 3:6, and 3 Nephi 2:15. Considering all these verses remain unchanged in the Book of Mormon, and that they confirm that the white and delightsome aspect regarding the Lamanites correctly and specifically refers to skin color, what was the point in altering the single verse here in 2 Nephi 30 verse 6 to read pure? White is established in the Book of Mormon as a prerequisite color that can be attained through righteousness alone. The Book of Mormon is incorrect. Dark skin is not now and never was a curse from God. However, modern church leaders perpetuated the teaching, Brigham Young said in Journal of Discourses, Volume 7, page 336, 1859, quote, "The Aborigines of this country are dark, loathsome, ignorant, and sunken into depths of degradation. They will become a white and delightsome people," end quote. Again, in Journal of Discourses, Volume 10, page 359, 1864, Brigham taught, quote, "Their scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes, and many generations shall not pass away among them, save they shall be a white and delightsome people," end quote. Then, in a General Conference report, October 1960, Spencer W. Kimball said, quote, "The day of the Lamanites is nigh. For years they have been growing delightsome, and they are now becoming white and delightsome, as they were promised." In this picture of the 20 Lamanite missionaries, 15 of the 20 were as light as Angelos, 5 were darker but equally delightsome. The children in the home placement program in Utah are often lighter than their brothers and sisters in the Hogans of the reservation, end quote. 2 Nephi 30, verse 9, is similar to Isaiah 11:4. Next, the chapter speaks about the last days, and as the second coming gets closer, there will be a division between those who stay loyal to the Mormon gospel of Christ and those who do not. There will be a great division between the righteous and the wicked, which will usher in the millennium. 2 Nephi 30, verse 10, the phrase is, quote, "division among the people," is also in John 7:43, and, quote, "the wicked will he destroy," is also in Psalms 145, verse 20. 2 Nephi 30, verses 11 through 15, is exactly the same as Isaiah 11:5 through 9. 2 Nephi 30, verse 17, the phrase is, quote, "there is nothing which is secret save it shall be revealed," is similar to Matthew 10:26, and, quote, "shall be made manifest," is also in 1 Corinthians 3:13, and, quote, "which is sealed," is also in Jeremiah 32:14. And this concludes our study for today. Please subscribe so you won't miss any of our future episodes. You can find this podcast on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and on YouTube. We're also on Facebook. Or you can go to our website at talkingtomormons.com, where you can download this script and learn much more. Thank you, and God bless.